is to empower somebody, is to energize somebody, is to bring somebody alive one more time. Are you here? Are you here? Yeah. The Bible said it was the old Elizabeth that got pregnant, and 6 months through the pregnancy, the Bible said she could not feel the baby. Are you here?
Yeah.
Well, I like money, so if you are not making noise, maybe I will stop and go. Amen. So the Bible said this old Elizabeth was very pregnant, 6 months old pregnancy, and Mary also conceived, amen, and was also very pregnant. But the problem is, Elizabeth did have all the experience, but Mary had no experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so the Bible said the Holy Ghost ordered Mary to go and look for Elizabeth. And when Mary went to Elizabeth to learn experience as to how to be a mother and as to how to carry children, the Bible said as soon as Mary saluted Elizabeth, the baby in the womb of Elizabeth lived. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So my assignment this afternoon is a Mary coming to somebody who is Elizabeth, who is pregnant, waiting for the blessing of the Lord to come alive.
Amen.
And by the time we greet each other, your baby will live.
Amen.
Oh, you are not here.
Amen.
By the time we greet each other, your baby will live.
Amen.
If it is for you, receive it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Are you in John chapter number 4?
Yes.
Let's read from, it's going to be a long reading anyway, boring one, I'll bore you, amen, with my Chelsea supporting, I mean, I'll bore you this afternoon. Amen. So let's go to verse number. I'm reading from verse number 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drink of this water will thirst again, but whoever drink of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you are now with have, your whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews said in Jerusalem, in the place where we ought to worship." Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship our Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This afternoon, I want to preach to you briefly, maybe 20 minutes, amen,
amen,
from this month's book, amen. And I've entitled it, "Worship as a Weapon." As he opened the chapter number 9, he said, Amen. Are you with me this afternoon? So I'm teaching or preaching on the subject worship as a weapon. Look at somebody and tell the person worship is a weapon. And we hear
worship
is a weapon. And we hear worship is a weapon. Look at somebody else, look at the face and tell the person today your worship shall become a weapon of mass destruction. In the name of Jesus, shall I believe it? It shall be established. Hallelujah. Now let's work it quickly and we are out of the door. Amen. And so the Bible spoke about this Samaritan woman who had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said they were, Jesus was sitting on a well that was dug by not Isaac, but Jacob. Hallelujah. We all understand from scripture that Isaac dug wells. He dug well, they go close. He dug another one and they go close. He dug another one. Amen. And that one never go close. But we are not so very familiar of a well that was dug by Jacob, his father. And this well, the way Bible unfolds itself is when Jacob was told that Joseph has now become a casualty and is not coming back home anymore. And for the father to remember him, the man dug a well. Amen. In commemoration of his son. And so he named that well Joseph Well. And the well stood there for nearly 2,000 years. Hallelujah. And I believe whatever Jesus did was very prophetic. He never did anything out of the glance. Anything Jesus did was very, very technical. Hallelujah. And so Jesus decided to go and sit on this well that was dug by Jacob 2,000 years ago. And once Jesus was sitting on the well, look at what the woman said. The woman said that, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well and drank of it himself, including his sons and even his livestock?" Hallelujah. So what the woman was trying to create around Jesus is that, look, if you are talking about everlasting water, hello? If you are talking about everlasting water, this is a water that was not dug by David, or well, that was not dug by David or Solomon or any of the prophets, but it was dug by Jacob, and this well has been here for 2,000 years. What Jesus was trying to say is that, look, you all have been believing a well that has stood for 2,000 years. Amen. But I'm bringing you a well that will last you not only for 2,000 years, but for your generation and your generation and your generation and your generation. Now, what Jesus was trying to create around this scripture is that, look, if you are so very familiar with the well dug by Jacob, and it is only the people of Israel or the people that live in this vicinity that needs to drink from this well, then what is going to happen to us who come from Nigeria? Hallelujah. Are you here? And so Jesus said, don't worry about this well that has been here for 2,000 years. There are other people somewhere that need to be drinking some other well. And because this well is only one well, it will not be sufficient to feed all of them. And so I am creating another well. And when that well comes, every person, race, tribe, religion, whenever they come from around the world, will drink from this same well, and it shall not be finished. Hallelujah. And so the conversation went on and on and on. And then, all of a sudden, the woman said something. He said, "Yeah, you Jews said we should worship the Father in Jerusalem. But we understood that worshiping the Father should be upon the mountains." And apparently, he was trying to refer to when Abraham worshipped the Lord upon the mountains. Hallelujah. And all the sons learned to worship the Lord upon the mountains. Where the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, it said, "For you have not come unto a mountain that can be touched, but you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem." So all they understood was that worship must be upon the mountain. What I find so fascinating about this scripture is that Jesus has not mentioned anything about worship. Jesus had not spoken about washing. All Jesus was concentrating on was water. Then suddenly, the woman changed the conversation and said, "You Jews said we should worship the Father only in Jerusalem. But we also know that worshiping the Father must be upon the mountains." So I'm reading the scripture and I'm asking myself, what a conundrum. What is this woman trying to create? The man is speaking to you about the water you drink, you will never be thirsty again. And all of a sudden, you are talking about worship. Hello? Hello? I'm building the case. I'm going somewhere. Then the woman, as soon as the woman said that, Jesus said, "Hang on, go and bring your husband." Another controversy. I am talking about water. And you are talking about worship. So the only thing you can do is to bring me back on the water. And then Jesus suddenly turned and said, "No, go and bring your husband and come here with your husband." Jesus has also turned the conversation, not back to where he started, to another conversation. Then the woman said, "I have no husband." But if you check the scripture, the Bible said the woman was classified as a harlot because she's been married 5 times and now living with the deceased husband, which has not officially unveiled her as a wife. And so the woman said, "I have no husband." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus said, "I know." Now, so this is where the message is unfolding. The woman was not being prophetical. The woman had the ability, because the Samaritan women have the ability to worship God. And I know where I'm going. Especially when we're talking about another Samaritan woman who brought the daughter to Jesus to heal. And Jesus said that, "I am not sent unto people like you. My assignment is to preach to the Lordship of Israel." And in fact, Jesus was right, because when you read Matthew chapter number 10, when he sent the disciples to go and minister in Matthew 10, he said to them, "Do not go outside the house of Israel, but only go to the Lordship of Israel." Hallelujah. It was only Matthew 28, when he had finally resurrected, he said, "Now you can go beyond Jerusalem." But whilst he was here, his focus was on the Lordship of Israel. And so when the woman came round about Jesus, the disciples reminded Jesus that, "Look, send this woman away." One day when I come and preach about the disciples' attitude, they always send people away. Even when the blind man was shouting, they said to Jesus, "Tell him to shut up." Every time your disciples run about you, they draw people away from you. They become the Mugabe's of the church. Anytime somebody is leaving church, ask them who offended you. They will tell you it is there. Yeah, we've been here so long. We started this church. We know how the church is. We have the DNA of the church. We know the pastors are team. Anytime there's controversy, it is the disciples. So even at this time, the disciples were saying, "Jesus, send the woman away." Hallelujah. So Jesus, Bible said, first is that Jesus said nothing. Then the woman started pressurizing Jesus. And I'm looking at Jesus, who at one point in time saw multitude and had compassion over them. And this is just one demon you are going to cast away. You cast 5,000 demons and fed them. This is only one demon. And Jesus opened his mouth and said, "Woman, I am not sent to the Lordship of Israel. I'm not sent to people like you. My job is to the Lordship of Israel. So I can help you." And the woman, the Bible said, and when Jesus said that, the woman bowed down to worship. And the woman was a Samaritan. So the Samaritans have in their DNA a worship mindset. So even though they are not programmed to be Israel, are misplaced. So they don't classify them as diminutive people, but God always blesses them. Why? Because technically they have the mindset to worship God. Do you have people who worship God in their house? If you can develop the mindset to worship God, it doesn't matter your condition, your problem, your circumstance, God will meet you at a way. God will meet you at a way. Only if you have the mindset to worship. The woman is talking about worship, and Jesus is talking about water. Then Jesus went. As soon as Jesus saw the heart and the mindset of the woman, Jesus instantly went into the prophet and said, "Woman, go and bring your husband." And the woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "It is right." You know why? Because you are a representative of Samaria, the whole city. Hallelujah. And the reason why you are a representation of Samaria is that Samaria has been rejected by Israel since generation. And so when Jesus said, "Yes, you have been married 5 times, he was not talking about physical marriage, but he was talking about rejection. But I came to announce to you that even if you are rejected, your worship shall bring you back before the Lord.
Amen.
You are not here, your worship shall bring you back before the Lord." So Jesus said, "You have been married 7 times. And Jesus was talking about the 5 different dispensations. He said, "You married 5 times. And even the 6th one has not officially unveiled you." In other words, Jesus was saying Samaria has been rejected even in the time of dispensation, referring to the dispensation of innocence, the dispensation of conscience, the dispensation of human government, the dispensation of human government, the dispensation of promise, and the dispensation of law. He's saying all these dispensations did not accept you. And now you have come to me another dispensation, which is grace. But because I am still here, you have not been acquainted. But before I die and resurrect, you shall be the first beneficiary of grace to receive grace. And it was because the woman was a worshiper. I came to announce to somebody who will be a worshiper this afternoon that through your worship, you shall not go home this day. When the woman came to meet Jesus, the attack and the stereotyping around her was that she's been married 5 times and even dating a man who is still married, and so she's not classified to come before the Lord. So she met Jesus as a harlot, as a prostitute. But when she came back the following hour, she became an evangelist. I came to announce to somebody this afternoon, by the time your worship is through and your prayer is through, you came here broken hearted, but you shall go home as a prophet to your father. You shall go home as a prophet to your generation. You shall go home as a prophet in your church. You shall go home as a prophet to your husband, as a prophet to your wife. If you believe it, shall I believe it? Said we can only worship God on this mountain. But you Jews said it was in Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? There is a myth around worship. And I am very particular about people that worship in church. My wife always tells me, "You don't like dancing." I tell my wife, it's not the reason that I don't like dancing. But some of us, the things we see and the way God opens our eyes, sometimes we just don't want to walk into the atmosphere. So, for example, the problem with worship nowadays in church is that believers have not been able to differentiate between a pure worship and quality entertainment. We cannot differentiate between a pure worship and quality entertainment. And so when the band is here, when the keyboards, the keyboards, many plural, set in order, you know, and you have some here, some there, and the drummers, and the bass guitarists, and the guitarists, and the musician singing with those euphonious voices, and our understanding is that is worship. But sometimes it is only a quality entertainment. Because some of them are coming from their boyfriend's room to hold the microphone to sing unto us. And some of the guys finish smoking weed and cigarette and drinks, and they get to sing right about the kingdoms and the clowns, and we call it worship. But the woman saw Jesus and understood what the quality worship was. And so the woman said, on this mountain, you said we shall worship. Look, when I was a kid, all my family belonged to Presbyterian. And so we all go to Presbyterian. Are you here? And so we all go to Presbyterian. And when I was 12, 13 years old, I was always forced to attend church. And I was a football player. And so I remember one Sunday when we had dressed and we are all going to church, I went straight to the Sunday school. I was in the Sunday school when I saw the guys outside the church, you know, giving me signs that there's a football match on the other side. So I ran out of the church to go and play football. Unfortunately for me, I had my mommy's key in my pocket. And my mommy is in charge of tights at Presbyterian Church. So when she got there, she realized that all the tithing books, she's been writing the tithes, she's forgotten them at home. And so mommy is coming to the Sunday school to get the key. When she got there, I wasn't there. And they said, he's gone to the bar. And when mommy saw me at the bar, I saw particles in my eyes. It is because I was forced to attend church. And so, in that primitive time, the families were forced to go and worship the Lord on the mountain. They were forced. Husbands forced their wives to go and worship upon the mountains. They forced them. Once every year, Elkanah and the wives, must go and worship the Lord in Silo. It wasn't in their DNA to go. But culturally, and by force, and by act of respect, you know, they follow them. For especially sometimes, not because of act of respect, just like, let me go so that you come off my back. So, you know, you follow the person to go and worship the Lord. And so what Jesus was saying to the woman, I can understand your emotion for worship, but you have gotten it wrong. You guys are forced to go and worship the Lord on the mountain. You are forced. You are dragged to go and worship the Lord on the mountain. When Abraham dragged Isaac to go and worship the Lord on the mountain, Isaac was forced. He didn't want to go by himself. He was dragged on the mountain. So some of us are dragged to worship the Lord. And that is why I come to the point I said we must be able to differentiate between quality entertainment and worship. Because some of us are right. So when you come to church and the song is good, you flow. You flow. And some of us, we come to church during worship time and all we are there to do is just because we want to worship to forget our pain. Because other people drink to forget their pain, and you can't drink to forget your pain. And so all you do is you come to church to worship God to forget your pain. But that is also a wrong motive for worshiping the Lord. So as soon as the woman switched to worship, Jesus said, no, I need to program you again. Because you have been programmed, I need to deprogram you and program you for the right way to understand what worship. So Jesus said, that listen, yes, indeed, your father said, we must worship upon the mountains. And indeed, the Jews said, we must also worship the Father in Jerusalem. Yes, the scripture you said on the leaflet, Psalm 65, verse 1, it says, oh Lord, your praise awaits you where? Zion. Your praise awaits you where? Zion. A typical of a Jewish mentality. That you can only praise God where?
Israel.
You are not here. You can only praise God where?
Israel.
So that means that some of us,
who work 9 to 5, who pay mortgage, who have salaries, fixed salaries, and we pay other responsibilities. Our children suck the money out of us, and I don't have the money. The only money we can put down is £50. It means that if you need to save money to go and worship God in Shiloh, or in Zion, or in Jerusalem, then it means that your worship will be in you till you die. But Jesus said, a time cometh, I'm changing the trajectory of worship, that it will never be on the mountain, or it will never be in Jerusalem, but it will be anywhere you meet. It means that Jesus has changed the system. So while people are worshiping in Jerusalem, and people are worshiping on the mountain, we shall worship here, the Lord, here this afternoon. And once we send the worship here unto heaven, heaven must respond anywhere. Well, I'm not hearing this afternoon. Heaven must respond. So Jesus said, listen, woman, I understand what you are saying, but let me deprogram you. Worship is not on the mountain. Worship is not, but worship is where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes I use myself for an example. Some of us, I know some of you have it easy here. Amen. Some of us, we even still have to struggle to get what they call naturalization. Amen. So it means that apart from just saving, you don't have what it takes to travel. So how are you going to go to worship the Lord in... And we are talking about worship being a weapon. So how then does your worship becomes a weapon? It means that that weapon doesn't function. It just like happens so many nights at home. And some of them doesn't work. Doesn't function. The other day when I came, my wife to school, 5 of the nights, I put it, said, find somewhere and sharpen them. I said, why? He said, they are unfunctionable. So some of the weapons are not functional. So Jesus understood, if I don't program this worship thing you guys do, you have the impression that praise must be in Zion. Whereas Zion can be anywhere. God said to Moses, the land your feet is on has been consecrated. So as soon as you create an environment for the Lord, we receive your worship. You are not here. As soon as you create the environment for the Lord, we receive your worship. Can I move on to my message now? Can I move on? In Psalm 22 and the verse number 1 to 3, the Bible says, and the Lord habits in the praise or in the worship of his. This is where worship becomes a weapon. Hello? Hello? This is where worship becomes a weapon. Now, God inhabits in the worship or in the praise of his people. It means that when worship is not a quality entertainment, and a worship is a pure worship, as Jesus said, that they that worship the Lord must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, because such worship the Lord seeketh. For the Lord is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him as such. Hallelujah. So if your worship is not a quality entertainment, but your worship is out of a pure worship, God must descend to come and dwell in the worship. Hallelujah. Can I preach to somebody? Can I preach to somebody? And so the difference between Peter, when he was apprehended in Acts chapter number 12, when the Bible said the only reason why Peter was on death row and had not been dead was because it was a feast, rest day, Sabbath. So scripture said they were waiting for the Sabbath to pass and then they will bring him out from death row and assassinate him and finish him and make sure he is dead. The Bible said the believers conjoined together in one accord in prayer and in safety. That is all. The problem with Paul and Silas is that Paul himself was a rebel. Don't forget, he had already sent John Mark away. And so there was division even in the apostleship. So as it stands at that moment, he is a missionary. When Peter was apprehended, it was in Jerusalem. Hello? You are not here. I think I'm speaking to myself. When Peter was apprehended, it was in Jerusalem. So the disciples were there. They saw it. The church saw it. They all knew.
But this is a guy who has moved from his country and where he's more familiar with himself in a different land. He doesn't know anybody working with his subordinates. And they have been apprehended and kept in prison. The problem is there is no church to pray for them. And Paul realized that they have been tired out of all the trial and out of the beating and out of the argument and out of the day without food and tiredness. So they were tired psychologically and mentally. When you are tired psychologically and mentally, listen, your prayer doesn't come. And Paul said, I have another weapon. I have another weapon. So if Jesus had not changed the dynamics of worship, and worship was only on the mountain, and worship was only on the temple in Jerusalem, then it means that the worship of Paul and Silas will not have gotten to anywhere. You are not here. You are not here. It means that their worship will not have gotten anywhere, because worship must only be in Zion, in Jerusalem, or on the mountain. But the Bible said, as an old man's voice, a 69-year-old Paul, a very old man, his voice were cracking. There were no keyboard. There were no drumsticks. There were no cordless microphones. There were no organ. There were no pianos. There were nothing. There were no choristers. There were no worship leaders. There were no praise and worship team. It was just by himself and this little man, Silas, who can even put two words together. I have a friend, we all got born again, and putting a song together was even a problem. I remember one day we were on the field praying, and we had to change the prayer and sing some chorus. And so when we started singing, you know, I've run out of songs, and the other guys also run out of songs, and nothing could come. And we still want to do it. Clapping. And then the guy lifted his left hand that he's going to give us the next song. And I believe the song he was going to give us was Cast Your Burdens Unto Jesus, for he cares. But because the guy cannot put songs together, he said, Call some brethren unto Jesus. And then, whilst we are meant to praise the Lord, it turned to laughter because the guy can't put words together to even praise the Lord. And so Silas can't even put words together to praise the Lord. But the Bible said, when their worship was not a quality entertainment, but was a pure worship, heaven responded. You are not here. Heaven responded. Sometimes it is not your long prayer. You just need to understand the dynamic. For the last 3 weeks, I've been teaching my text about principal ways of answered prayer. Principal ways of answered prayer. And all I've taught them, I haven't taught them about prayer. Because it is not always prayer.
No.
You need to understand the weapons. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty in the Lord. What it means is that you need to go and drop them out of the Lord and understand how to utilize them. If you have ever been with an army person, if you watch an army movie like I do, you understand that they don't just give them weapons.
No.
Weapons are what? Are given to them when the need arises. And so there are certain weapons you might not need to appropriate them now. But when the need arises, the weapons are in the Lord. And for you to bring the weapons out, you can only maneuver the Lord by worship. So that those weapons are being opened. It's just like programming the exit door of where the weapons are kept. It is always with a code. And so you are going to get those weapons to fight the enemy in the Lord. They are mighty in the Lord. And you can only get them by the codes. And some of the codes are through prayer. Some of the codes are through seed. Some of the codes are through repentance. Some of the codes are through salvation. Some of the codes are through forgiveness. And forgive us our trespasses as we have already forgiven those who did sin against us. That's another code. Then another code you need is your ability to worship the Lord, not of a quality in the. So those of us who are always glued to worship when the keyboard is not functioning, as soon as they make that song, and the keyboard is looking for the keys. Because some of us, our key is not there. My key, the other day, my keyboard is told me, Pastor, your key is between F and J. I said, what is the meaning? He said, your key doesn't exist. He said, your
key doesn't exist. So some of us, when we lift up the song, the keyboardists are trying to look for where the key can be found on the keyboard. And when you are looking for it, you won't draw it, because the way I lifted the song, I've already circumcised the song before I even started it. So all you are trying to do is to focus your attention on the keyboardist. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But quality worship is not a quality entertainment. Look, if we are talking about quality entertainment, right, Michael Jackson is a very quality musician. And he can move the crowd. When you watch his movies, when his videos, when he went to, is it China or somewhere? And he was singing and people were falling under. I don't know if it's anointing or whatever. People can fall under so many things.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, people can fall under so many things. I had a grandfather who came to me and blessed me, who did very drink. And when he drinks, you know, that is where all the vegetarian hymns come. When he drinks, the president, they come natural. Hallelujah. They come natural. Amen. So a lot of people can fall out of so many things. Amen.
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 And so Jesus deprogrammed the Samaritan woman and said, yes, I understood you want to worship. But if you are worshiping, let's do it the right way. Once you do the worship the right way, it becomes weapon. Now, can I finish the message?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are going back to where he read 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20, about Jehoshaphat. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said, if you read from the chapter number 1 coming, I like to build argument from the beginning so that you understand scripture. And when you build the argument from the beginning, it was that when they came to dwell on the land, amen, and the five nations decided to form an alliance, sign a peace treaty, all because of one nation, sign peace treaty that will bring Israel down. Now, when they have plotted that and all that, the Bible said, Jehoshaphat knew their plots. And what Jehoshaphat did was, he consecrated a prayer. It is something that will anoint any intelligence system in the world. It will anoint them. Can you imagine if Great Britain is under siege? And the military commander of the nation goes to the prime minister, who is eventually going to be that man with the brown hair. On the nation's day. Amen. And he goes to this man to tell this man that I have seen France, Germany, and Holland, and some other nations form a treaty to attack Great Britain, and we have small population. When you put all their army together in the arsenals, it's just like putting the whole UK together, including civilians. And when they have said that to the Prime Minister, albeit in that capacity as a king, said, go and tell the people to fast. What an insult. Look, we are talking about military tactics, not about prayer. This is a war. This is not a prayer retreat. This is not a power prayer pack. This is a war. The enemy is coming to attack us. Now listen carefully. The Bible said, as you read the scripture downwards, this is Jehoshaphat's prayer. He said, Lord, I have checked the records, and I've checked history, and I've checked the scriptures. When our fathers came to dwell here, they wanted to destroy these nations. And he told them, no, they should leave these nations alone. And they left them. And me, the whole Sabbath, this land, I didn't get it by my strength. You promised our forefathers and told them, I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And this is the land. My grandfathers are gone. And now I am the one in control. So now if these nations you decided for us not to attack them are coming to take the land, that belongs to you. Is it my battle or is it your battle? So he understood the identities. You know what I'm saying? He said, is it my battle or is it your battle? He said, this land we are bringing and me being a king, I did not get the land by my power. It was your promise and your predictions and your blessing and your mercy that we are on this land. So if they are coming to take the land, listen, they will kill the whole shepherd and I'm gone. God. I am not the one who is going to be humiliated. It is you. And the Bible said, while they were still praying, the word of the Lord came to the prophet and said, go tell Jehoshaphat that the battle is mine. It didn't end there. It didn't end there. Now, another conundrum, another opposition to military tactics. God said the battle is mine. But God didn't tell them how to fight. So Jehoshaphat now understood that I was looking for God to bring souls or open another Red Sea or just step out or something. All God can say is the battle is yours. That's it. It's just like a believer's prayer. When you pray, God says nothing. They just give you one quotation. Hello? I'm looking for a job. All you told me is, I am the Lord that gives you. I am not looking for scriptures. I want. You are not. I want. So all God gave him was that the battle is. Now, King Jehoshaphat must find out a way. A strategy. To now win the battle. And he said to the army again, go and bring the Levites. Referring to Judges chapter number 1. When they had no leader, when Moses raised Joshua, but Joshua did not raise any. You are not here.
Yes, sir.
Moses raised Joshua, but Joshua failed to raise. The book of Daniel chapter number 1. This is just by the way. Just that we have the commercial break. The book of Daniel chapter number 1. When they captured and overthrown Israel, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, go and look for the youth who are full of sciences, who are smart, who are intelligent, who are wise, who has got the heart to serve, and who has got the ability to work in my palace, bring them and we will school them. At that primitive time, he was looking for succession. We are not. You are not here. So Moses brought the successor. Joshua failed to bring the successor. So Jehoshaphat, now, having read the book of Judges, chapter number 1, when the people of Israel consulted God and said, now, God, this is the battle. How are we going to go to the battle? And the Lord said, let Judah lead the race. So, Jehoshaphat understood the system. He said, this battle is sweet. All we are going to do is that we're going to bring the Levites and bring the keyboard and bring the drummers and make sure that because the Levites have been fighting for the last 3 days, so at least they haven't slept with their wives or husbands. So they are clean. They are clean. They are clean. Somebody say they are clean. Somebody say they are clean. And some of the young guys, they said they are boyfriends or girlfriends. So they are all clean. Yeah. So bring them here. And when they came, Jehoshaphat said, now start singing. And they led the possession. The army follows you. And the Bible says, anytime they sing hallelujah, an army died. Anytime they sang hallelujah, an army died. Anytime they said praise the Lord, somebody died in the camp. You know why? Because they understood that praise is neither in Jerusalem nor on the mountain. Let me finish the message. So this afternoon, all we are going to do for 20 minutes, no keyboard, no drum, no instruments. You are just going to be Silas. You are going to be Paul. We are going to put it together. You are singing F key, and I'm singing W key.
white king. That is, Moses will be singing ZF. And then we'll put all those together. But we believe it is not a quality entertainment, but we know it is out of worship. And what we live for that. Anytime we say hallelujah this afternoon, somebody must fall down.
Amen.
Anytime we sing hallelujah, sickness must fall down.
Amen.
Anytime we sing praise the Lord, somebody must be set free.
Amen.
Anytime we sing hallelujah, somebody must break off.
Amen.
Anytime we lift up our hands and say thank you, Jesus, and any who has been chasing us must break down. That is why David said, by the help of the Lord, I have run through and through. And what if because David saw the truth? Because he said, if I knew them, I would have fought them. But he didn't even know who he was fighting. But anytime David lifted up his music and his xylophone to play, and as he played, he's limping over armies. And he said, by the help of the Lord, I have run through this group. And by the help of the Lord, I have leaped over every condition, every situation, every circumstance. This happened as we worship the Lord, and as we lift his name up, and as we praise him, and as we bring him thanksgiving, which is a Zion here this afternoon, we are declaring that let our conditions be healed. Let stomach conditions be healed. Let blood pressure go down. Let heart conditions be broken. Let arthritis leave our body. Let heart pressure go down. Let all the arrest of the enemy be broken right now through our worship. Please be on your feet. We shall enter worship the Lord on that mountain or in Jerusalem, so that nobody will be forced to go and worship the Lord. Listen. We will not understand your praise. We will not understand your worship. The high priest, which was the archbishop of the whole land of Israel, not the UK one, that one has run right. It's true. That one cannot even kill a mosquito.
Yes. Yes.
Hello? So the archbishop of the whole Israel, when he saw Hannah worship, he said he was drunk. Not here. When the head pastor of all the churches in Israel, in the person of Eli ben Uzziah, when he saw Hannah rolling on the floor. Look, sometimes when you read scripture, hello? Sometimes when you read scripture, don't rush it. Like some of us rush it. Don't rush it. Understand the scripture in this current day. If the woman was sitting down, I'm sure the man would not have picked the fact that he was drunk. Because when you are drunk and you are sitting down, nobody will know you are drunk. It is only when you stand up to walk. Like my grandfather, when he stands up to walk, something will trip him and then go for that. Don't push me. Because by your standing up, we will know either you are drunk or drunk or not. So if Hannah was sitting down or lying down, the man of God will not have picked it up. But the reason why he picked that Hannah was drunk as that early morning was because the woman was rolling on the floor.
Amen.
Even the head pastor did not understand the Hannah's words. No. You don't have to follow the quality entertainment to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Because they don't understand your worship. I love my sweetheart. I love her so much. And with no disrespect, amen, with no disrespect, but let's be real, what you have been through, she hasn't been through. That's why I said no disrespect. What you have been through in life, she hasn't been through. Are you here?
Yes.
Are you here? What daddy has been through, she hasn't been through. So she's worshiping God out of pure and genuine heart. But when daddy is worshiping the Lord, he understands where God took him and where God has
They were not paying rent.
They were not paying keyboardists and instruments. So all the tithes and offering were coming to his.
Okay.
And so the guy has been living comfortably all his life. He had children, so what else? So this man of God did not understand the worship of that poor woman on the floor. So I don't need to understand your worship, but let God understand your worship. You are not here. Let God understand your worship. You are not here. Let God understand worship. Because the pastor didn't even understand your worship. No. He didn't. So if you want, with no disrespect again, praise and worship team, instrumentals to lead you to the throne room of God. God help you. It means you have no weapon. It means you have no weapon. It means you have no weapon. And that is why David always wins battle. Because he has a weapon. He does have a weapon. Hallelujah. And so this afternoon, for the next 15, 20 minutes, before we even go into any prayer topic, all we are just going to do is to let God know your worship. God said the other day, he said that by hymns, by words, by melody, by songs of understanding, when you sing to the Lord, sing with understanding. When you speak to the Lord about your worship and about your praise, let God understand it. That is why we are here. We came to let God know that he picked us from somewhere. Like Hannah said in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, he said he picked the poor and the needy from the dunghill and placed them upon the high hill to reign with princes, kings, and people of high value. And she continued to say, it is the Lord that lift one up and bring one down. And he said, for by strength shall no man prevail. My strength is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. Because for by strength you shall not prevail. The people of Israel knew that. And that is why they always win. When they came to Jericho, it was not their weapon. Because God inhabits in the praise of his people. When God comes down to receive worship, hello? John chapter number 1, the Bible said the light shines and darkness could not comprehend it. So even if you are put in prison and your worship descends heaven and God must come down to receive the heaven, he is coming as a light in darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend him. And the Bible said, let the Lord arise and all his enemies be one. So when God resides in the praise of his people, he resides and he comes in to take it. Everything that is a negativity must leave. Let me finish with this before we pray. When an American president is going to a country, the first thing they do, 3 months before he comes in the country, when they officially sign the deal for him to travel into the country, before the journalists and before the media gets to know that he's coming to the country, the first thing they do is to send intelligence in the country. Send intelligence to gather information to foresee his security. You are not here. You are not here. Before he comes in. So when Paul and Silas was in prison and they were bound in chains, when the worship was coming higher and God was beginning to see them, he said, I need to go and dwell in my worship, as the scripture said. So first and foremost, he needs to send an angel who is a security system to come in and survey the terrain to make sure that my arrival is secure. And when the angel came, his first assignment was an earthquake. This afternoon, by the worship, let an earthquake happen somewhere. Let an earthquake happen somewhere. I don't think I'm preaching to believers. I think I'm preaching to some Methodist people somewhere. By your worship, let an earthquake happen somewhere. Lift up your voice and let's give you honor the Lord worship him. David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and they shall be excited. Scripture said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt the name of the Lord together. For indeed they look up unto the Lord, and their faces were enlightened, and they were not ashamed." Lift up your voice and thank the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. In the beauty of His holiness. In the beauty of His holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Worship the Lord out of your heart, out of your heart, out of your heart, out of your heart. Bible says, out of your heart shall flow living rivers of water. Let your worship be made unto the Lord. Tell the Lord when He healed you, when He brought you out of the mess, when He brought you out of the mess. You were sick, nearly to death, but the Lord saved you. Thank the Lord for the accident He saved you from. Thank the Lord for the heart pressure you didn't get. Thank the Lord for the breaking heart that could have killed you, but you survived it. Thank the Lord for the pain that you went through, but the Lord saved you. Thank the Lord for the pain when you having the trouble, but the Lord saved you. Thank the Lord for the pain you went through when the situation was so overwhelming, but the Lord through it all was able to save you. It cannot be the Lord who was on our side. When our enemies, when our foes, when people of this blessing, when they encompass one of us, they would have annihilated us, they would have destroyed us, they would have brought us down, they would have cancelled all the plans and the scheme of the Lord. But here we are, the snare of the enemy has been broken, our soul has escaped from the snare of the Father, and our soul has escaped. Let your modulation be made unto the Most High God. Send it up unto the Lord, send it up unto the Lord. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. We are bringing the praise of the Lord upon the mountains. The Lord shall hear our thanksgiving in Zion this afternoon. He shall hear our praise in Mount Zion. He shall hear our worship upon the mountains. He shall hear our worship in Jerusalem. He shall hear our worship in London. He shall hear our worship out of your body. Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Reasonable service. Be not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Even though He slew me, but yet will I hold in Him. I have blessed the Lord, I have blessed the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Count your blessings and name them one by one. If there not be the Lord who was on our side, where would we have been? One of the Lord, one of the Lord. Yeah.